Welcome to the Bureau Briefing. Before we get started, I want to thank our sponsors. They are amazing. Thank you to MailChimp. If you need a marketing platform, MailChimp is so much more than just email. They help you with Facebook ads, with Google ads. You just got to check them out. And the way that you can slice and dice the campaigns, it's beautiful. 10,000 feet. You know, if you need insights into your projects and your people, 10,000 feet is the resourcing tool that can help you with that. And also, gather content. Content is always the thing that drags every project down. But when you use Gather Content, you can get a handle on it. And now, let's get on with the show.
Welcome to the Bureau Briefing, a podcast by the Bureau of Digital, an organization devoted to giving digital professionals the support system they never had. Each episode, we're going to talk to a member of our community doing awesome, inspiring things. Now for your host, Carl Smith.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Bureau Briefing. Today, I have got a digital strategist and the founder of the Managed Digital Conference, which is a conference for digital PMs in Minnesota, Lynn Winter. How are you, Lynn?
I'm great. How are you doing?
I'm great. And I want to start off by asking you about the Managed Digital Conference. And what was it that made you do that? As somebody who puts on events, it's like, it's such an effort. So why did you decide, I'm going to do this?
Maybe because I wanted to learn how much time it took to actually do it. Because you're right. It is a lot of effort. And I thought, I'm a PM. I can handle this. This will be no problem. But it was a little more energy than I thought. But it had been something I had been thinking about for years. And essentially, I think it started really when I went to the second DPM summit back in Austin. And it was such a life-changing experience for me. I had been working at an agency where I was the only project manager, and I was deep into the Drupal community, which is a great community. But at that time, there was just no project managers around me. So in a field of like growing PMs where the role had not been very defined and clear within the industry, and being inside a like sub community that didn't really have a lot of project managers, I just kind of had felt a bit lost and was really searching for my people. Like I would literally go to a DrupalCon and be like, oh, that one person over there is the PM. And I would like go hunt them down in like, this awkward way and, you know, introduce myself and then like hang out them with them for days. And I'm sure they thought it was strange, but I was dying for that. So when I ended up in Austin, I found that experience and it was great. And I had gone to a couple summits, but I wanted to kind of recreate that connection locally. A couple of years back, I was in a role where I was managing project managers and teams, and people would ask me all the time about jobs and how to learn certain things. And there's just not a lot of great ways to kind of grow your skills as a project manager. So for years, I had been thinking about creating a local conference that was, you know, something just small one-day conference that was affordable and allowed everyone to network. And that was really the main goal of the conference, is to bring people together, to have mentors, and to like be able to connect for new jobs. So I had that idea for a long time, and I thought, oh my God, how am I going to ever do this? And then I went freelance, and I had time, or so I thought for a couple months. But I was going to do this, so then I had to do it, even though I had no time, and that's what happened.
Once you say it, you got to do it.
I know. There's something about when you put a website out there and then you tell people, and then I felt committed.
Now, you had a small team that was helping you, right? Because I remember I exchanged emails with one gentleman, I think.
Yeah. We had a couple people during the time of the conference. A couple people had to step out because, lo and behold, their PM jobs took over and didn't allow them a lot of time. But it was a very small team that put on all the work.
Yeah. Well, everything that I heard, they did a tremendous job. So congratulations out of the gate. Sounds like you got a success with Managed Digital.
Thank you.
Now, one of the things you mentioned is leading straight into what I want to talk about. It's a little thing we call the segue. And you were talking about the amount of time that you had and the amount of time that the other people had. And digital PMs specifically get pulled in such a wide range of directions. And I remember being on a call with the heads of some digital PM meetups. And I asked them, I was like, can you tell me why you aren't more involved in the Slack channels? And they said, well, unlike owners, we have to work. And we can't just hang out all day in Slack. And I was like, oh, I have just been schooled. And it's so true. So I'm just curious, when you look at digital PMs and what your talk is going to focus on is burnout, what do you think, besides just the amount of work that can come in, it is that really can undermine a digital PM in their personal health, really?
Yeah, well, I think the way we kind of set up our roles, it's a little twofold. You have a PM that, in general, the personality of a PM is to kind of take on all the extra work, do all the things, and set up everything for everyone else. If you think about it, when people go home, if we don't have something set up for the next day, then the project spends more money, things don't get done, we have to follow up. So the role is really kind of set up where we have to be kind of caretaking the garden. And then on top of it, you get all these people that have a certain personality that really want to do that, that take on too much work, that want to get it all perfect and right. And so you have this clash of a role that's kind of set up for that and a personality that comes together.
Right. You're the ultimate blocker. Right. If you don't have everybody lined up to work, that just feels horrible. So is that part of what happens at night? It's like this little bit of getting the shakes and you just decide to go ahead and work some?
I think that's really what it is. And I don't think it has to be that way, but it's been set up in the industry where it's kind of the fallback takeout. I mean, if you look at a project manager, who's the last one to go out to lunch? You know, who's eating at their desk, who's not using up their PTO. That role, because if they don't do it, it comes back on them. And so there's not a lot of like sharing of that responsibility as much as I wish there could be.
Right. Well, and for me, I remember the best digital project managers were the ones who obviously cared. They were really good at what they did, but the real killer attribute was nobody wanted to let them down.
Mm-hmm.
And that became, when we were looking at digital PMs at EngineWorks at my company, we always wanted those people who were going to be able to make everybody else step up a little bit more and know that they were going to be as responsible. But it was really difficult to find those people.
I think it is, but I also think there's an issue with creating that culture. So it's nice to hear you say that you're looking for people that would step up the other side of it. But I think what also happens at a lot of places is that there isn't that shared responsibility. There's just like, oh, they'll take care of it or it will just happen. I don't know if you've seen this amazing video on YouTube where this man has this magic table and that. Have you seen this?
Yes.
And he puts all this stuff there and it magically takes care of it. And the laundry gets folded. He makes mess all the time and it just happens. And it's very funny, but it's kind of how the role works. Things just happen invisibly and it makes things just keep going in a way that you don't want to change that. You know, you can't change the environment so that process doesn't keep going, but then it leads to PMs working more hours, solving more things, picking up something that somebody else dropped.
Well, and you're also in every meeting for the most part. So you don't have time during the day to do the work you need to do. And rightfully so, digital PMs want to be involved in new business, right? Mm-hmm.
And we have to, right? I started getting involved in the sales side to protect myself and the projects and the company. Because what would happen is someone would throw over something from sales and it would just land on our plate and everybody would be looking at us saying, how do we make this happen in this timeline? Or how do we do this in the budget? So to solve that problem, I made my way into sales and then I found myself doing 25% of sales on top of my job already, right?
I'm just sitting here thinking, anybody who's listening to this that's not in the industry is definitely not thinking about being a digital PM right now. They're like going, oh my goodness, that's the worst. What do you think it is that draws people into this job and keeps them there?
Well, I do think there is a challenge with keeping you there, because I've heard from a lot of folks that have been in the industry for a while, just done, just burnt out, needing to move on. And they either step out of the industry or go into another completely different field. But I just think for me, I've always been a project manager from out of the gate. And to me, it's that ability to organize, solve problems, help everybody inside and outside, like all the attributes that make you become the workaholic and the problem, right? But if I can solve the problem and make things run smoothly and make creative things happen, but maybe I'm not doing the creative part, that's pretty invigorating to me.
So what can digital PMs do if it's within the organization, or if it's something that they personally change in the way that they show up? Like what are some of the things that you've seen work to help alleviate some of the stress and just sheer volume of time that you have to put in?
I would say, first, unfortunately, I haven't seen a lot of things work. I've seen a lot of people making changes that then allow them to change as well. So drastic environment changes, they either go to a new company, change the industry, or change, you know, freelance versus, you know, working from home versus in the office. And I think something bigger like that shakes it up. Because I think part of this is ingrained in the person and not just the role, right? And so if you have to, it's hard to change who you are from so many years of practicing this great behavior. So I think sometimes it's a big change like that. But then I think it's just simply looking at what things aren't working and have an honest conversation with yourself. You know, are you getting any exercise? Are you eating well? Are you getting sleep at night? Is your marriage really good, or your relationship? And I personally had huge problems when I went from having a job to freelance. I lost 20 pounds.
Oh, wow.
I started sleeping an extra hour a night. My marriage got better. Started eating less, you know, junk food every day, to going to more gluten-free, healthy diet, which is still not that healthy, but healthy enough for me.
Right.
And so I had to make a lot of those changes, because sometimes you're in an environment where they accept and support you. And then it's a matter of, can you change being in that environment with all those practices? And if you can, that's wonderful. And then you start setting little boundaries, because you can't make big changes rapidly. Or the other time, you're sometimes in an environment where you don't have that support. I've been in a place where I've said, you know, I've had my boss say, I'm so sick of hearing from everybody how hard you're working. And I said, I'm sorry. I've told you I have too much on your plate. I need help. And they've said, well, go away and let me know how you figured that out. You know, and that's not an environment where change can happen, right? So if you're ready for change, you have to figure out if that environment's there to support you.
Well, I see owners go through a lot of stress as well. Mm-hmm. I mean, owner burnout is a serious issue based on a lot of events that I've been to where I've gotten to hang out with owners and talk through it. But it's almost always more about payroll and business and how are we going to make sure that we keep everything going? And can I have a smile on my face when I walk through the room next time? Because I really want to just punch the wall. And listening, thinking about it really from the digital PM's perspective, right? They're trying to keep everything moving forward. Do you think there's a tendency for digital PMs to take things and put them on their plate that maybe they don't have to?
Absolutely. I think it's when you're in a room and with your colleagues and you divide up the work and there's things sitting on the table that nobody volunteers to do or nobody's done before. I think a project manager often raises their hand and says, well I'll figure it out. It needs to get done. Somebody's got to get it done. If nobody is willing to do it, I'm going to do it. And that part of that is how I ended up in content strategy and user testing and
right.
QA and all those kind of things.
Yeah. It's almost like anything that's a learnable skill, a digital PM will grab, or anything that needs to be researched and they'll put on their plate. And I remember sitting down with our PMs and just saying, show me everything on your list, prioritize it the way you think it needs to go, and then let me look at it. And I can hopefully show you some things that aren't necessarily a priority that you can move on. Have you seen anything like that? Or and I think with the teams too, you can probably, hopefully, again, it gets back to culture, right? If you're in a bad job and a bad company, none of this stuff works. But if you're at a company that sincerely wants to take care of the health of its employees, do you think that sharing priorities and having everybody help can work?
I think it can, but I think a lot of times it comes to a point where you're in between hiring the next role, and that's where that stress comes in. So maybe you don't have a content strategist because you're not big enough, or maybe you can't hire the second PM. And so there's that time and moments around how do you take care of the work when it's not quite another role? And when does the company feel like they can jump to the next step and take that risk to have a whole nother salary on their books to fill in some of that stuff?
And then psychologically, if you feel like you've got the weight of the world on your shoulders and you're the one that's been carrying it forward, and then you do get support, that can be a freaky thing too.
Mm-hmm. You don't want to feel like you're letting things down or are you failed?
With that, and also it's like, that's not how we do this. You know, it's just easier for me to do it.
Well, right? There's that too.
Where you won't let go.
Comes in, and then there's issues around that, right? I do also think there's like a youth of the industry challenge. So before I went into digital, I was in television. And the role of the PM has been around forever, right? Like that industry's been around for, I don't know, 75 years plus.
Yeah.
So there was just a knowledge about why someone comes talks to me, what they need from me, why they should hide from me. But it was very clear. It wasn't like every month or 6 months there was a new thing that came on my plate. It just was like, these are your duties. And then there's always that line in the job description, like other duties as assigned. But it wasn't, you know, there wasn't new things. It was just volume, right? Like if you had a big production coming in town, it was busy. And if you didn't, you didn't. And so then it was just managing quantity of projects. Versus digital, like the actual role of the PM and what the PM should be doing is just in its infancy. And so trying to figure that out at agencies, and then at some agencies really respect and value that role, and some people don't, and it's more like a second class citizen. And so trying to establish that role with skilled people and the definition around that plays into this a lot, I think.
Well, and along with defining it, standing by that definition, or having a process for when it needs to evolve.
Mm-hmm. I was just going to, and I think the strength of people in that role, when you're in a place that doesn't have a PM or you're a brand new PM, you don't know what you're supposed to be doing or not. It takes years to be super comfortable knowing what the boundaries are and what you need to be doing to make sure a project's successful for yourself and then for your team. You know, you move from one team to another team, and that looks totally different.
Absolutely. If just based on companies that I've talked with, there are companies that their digital PM is basically like a secret ghost working in the background. That moves things around, and you're suddenly like, whoa, how did that happen? And then other shops, their PM is the conductor of the orchestra. Like they're up front, and you don't go to anybody on the team with anything. You go to the DPM.
Yep.
So in television, how did it work?
Well, I think somebody defined it all before me. I mean, I think that was what was great about it. I was learning from all the past years before what that role was. And it just never really came into question. And I didn't really realize that until I went to a job where my first web agency, where they literally took two people's tasks that the two people hated the most, and they made a job description out of it. I'm like, I'm not kidding. They sat down and wrote, I don't want to do these things anymore. And that became my job description. And it turned out it was things I like to do. But that's how I started my digital career at a company, doing the jobs that everybody hated. And I don't think that's probably far off from what happens. You know, you start as a developer, you add, you know, I'm not good at making things pretty. You add the designers, UX gets added on. These people grow to the company and they're like, oh, we've got all these tasks to do, or I need some meetings scheduled, or I need emails. Who needs to answer the phone? You know, then a PM gets on, and then it really just depends how that agency views that role and value. Like, you can make it, view it really valuable or not. And at the same token, it's up to the PM to define the value of it, right? It's not like up to the agency. A PM can take that role and really run with it and establish the value and then the boundaries around that as well. And basically, also, we need time to pass. We need more time to pass.
Yeah.
And then we'll be in a better spot.
Well, no, I think you're right. I also think the companies with the cultures and the appreciation for the different roles that it takes to create great digital will succeed. And that will become the case studies for the shops that suffer and can't figure it out. And, you know, even friends of mine who've had amazingly successful shops that said, we don't have project managers. If you dig into it, you find out that those roles were getting done by people who were still really good at them. They just weren't called project managers. And they may have been, you know, in between two different jobs. The idea that a PM isn't important, or that there's one person in the company who's a superstar and they can just deflect whatever the PM says and do what they want. There's one shop right now, super great shop, only 5-6 years old maybe. And I just had this sense that if the project managers were given a little bit more control, they probably would be able to grow without increasing the size of their team. But instead, they keep increasing the size of the team because they feel like they can't get everything done. But it's just because nobody listens to the project manager.
I know the feeling. But, you know, I think we got to make sure we take responsibility too as project managers. And I think that's where, you know, education and mentorship can really help the people that are newer in the field, you know, get their footings and realize what their role can be, and then stepping out of it. You know, I think you spend the first 3 years defining what the PM role looks to yourself, and then you spend the rest of the time breaking the boundaries and making the magic, being the conductor.
And there are also some companies out there now that are doing training for digital PMs, right? I know of two, and I wonder how aligned they are, right? It feels like if you start looking at different ways that people learn, like web standards unifies the way that HTML, CSS, all that kind of stuff gets used way back in the mid 2000s. I want to fix it, Lynn. How do we fix it? Yeah. I know it doesn't work. It's like my wife says, I just need you to listen. You don't have to try to fix this. But I'm wondering if there is some level where things can be shown to be a best practice. Maybe that's what you're going to do at the Digital PM Summit. I don't want to put a lot of pressure on you.
Well, I don't know. Well, I won't be talking about best practice about being a PM, but happy to talk about it at any of the side events. But, you know, I think awareness is the biggest thing with burnout specifically. I think understanding where you are, how comfortable you are in that role, and where you want to be. And I think that's just basic, like, life planning. Like, where do I want to be when I'm 30, 40, 50, 60? Like, what feels successful to me? What does that look like? And, you know, when we're too busy to stop and think about it, the entire life passes by. And that means we're moving too far too fast. And so we need to just take the time to recognize what we need to have in our jobs to make sure our job makes us really happy.
Well, and also not just defining ourselves by our jobs, right? Making sure we have things outside of work that make us feel good. Like me, I'm a very slow runner, but I can run really far. And so I love running. Like, this is, I don't define myself by it, but it's part of who I am. And it's the same thing with my family. Like, for those of us that have kids, right? Assuming that your kids are really awesome like mine, you're like,
most times, well, yes.
You know what? I'm a parent. I take care of my kids. These are things that are not part of the Bureau, although they're all interrelated. Mm-hmm. So I think that's another really important thing. And because a lot of digital PMs are younger, right? They may not have those other things to define themselves by. And as a result, they just throw themselves into work.
Mm-hmm. I also find too that I've met a lot of PMs that are kind of older and later in their career. And I think I've seen a lot of people be very anxious about keeping up. They just feel there's just a feeling of, and you know, I'm not 20 years old either anymore. And I'm starting to feel older in the industry. And I think there is a feeling too, when you get a little older, that you feel like there's something you're missing or you're not keeping up. And so there's a hustle around that you feel like you need to do in order to stay relevant. And I'd love that stigma to go away, because that it doesn't matter how old you are. That has nothing to do with the quality of a project manager you are.
Well, thank you, because now I'm getting the message I need to hear.
Yes. So we did solve the problem. We solved your problem.
It's all taken care of. And as everybody that listens to the show knows, it's just about me. Yeah. I'm just inviting people on to help me figure things out. So, well, Lynn, I'm excited to say hey again at the Digital PM Summit and to hear you talk about digital PMs and burnout.
All right. And then by then, I'm going to figure out my new hobby, because I'm still working on allowing time for hobbies. So
there you go.
I'll let you know what I'm doing by then.
And we'll be in Memphis. So if you can figure out the hobby and we can actually do it in Memphis, I'll do it with you, especially if it's karaoke. Just saying.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Not sure.
Okay.
It could be.
Not so good at that, but maybe I'll try.
That's all we ask. Yes. All we ask of every attendee is that you try karaoke. It's going to be fine. Well, everybody listening, thank you so much. Lynn, thank you for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
And we'll be back next week. We'll talk to you then. All the best.